from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Dear friends in Christ. Sorry. Have you ever taken a shortcut? Has it ever worked? Too often I think shortcuts end in disaster. There's a cul-de-sac at the end of the road you thought you could get through on, a dead-end road, two-lane road with heavy traffic, so basically it's no shortcut at all. And actually takes you longer to travel. My favorite shortcut is seeing that shorter line at the supermarket and saying, "I'm not waiting for this, I'll zip over here." They actually did a study about like line, and they did it from about lines at a bank, you know, getting in line at a bank. And they found that the person that moves from one line to the other actually takes like 20% longer to get to the head of the line. It's strange. Have you ever tried to take a shortcut when you're fixing something? Maybe fixing a car. And then you find out later that this shortcut was nothing more than a very short fix, and it breaks again and actually costs more to fix the second time when it was done right. They always say that you never have time to do the thing. You never have time to do the thing the right way, but you always have time to do it over. So, shortcuts usually don't work. And what we see today in Abram is a desire to take a man-made shortcut. He wants to do things his own way. See, he's figured out how he can have an heir. After all, he's 99 years old. He and Sarai are not going to be having children. It's just too late. So Abram has a plan. And if he can follow through on this plan and go through with it, then he can save face. Even God can save face, you know. See, Abram wants Ishmael to be his heir. This is kind of the backstory for what we read this morning. Ishmael's already born. And Abram loves Ishmael. He actually, later on in verse 18, he practically begs to God, praying, saying, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And he knows that he and Sarai are just too old to have a son. So, God, just make Ishmael the son of your promises, the heir of the promises. This is Abram's very fervent wish, and it's basically, well, it's his answer to the problem. It's his man-made shortcut. What we see here is the very weak faith of Abram and Sarai. You see, Abram doubts that God can actually still keep his impossible promise and provide to him an heir. That would absolutely be impossible. It was too much to ask of God. And Abram then, of course, takes matters into his own hands. He wants to fix the problem. And so he thinks he's got the perfect solution. "God, let's do these things my way this time." Because that always works out. Because you and I, well, we both operate the same way a lot of times, don't we? We have problems in our life. Everybody does. Nobody has the perfect life. And so we, as God's people, well, we go to Him in prayer. We pour out our hearts to Him. And we tell Him that we believe in Your promises, O God. And then as soon as we pray, amen, we start looking for our own solutions. We start looking for our own way out, our own answers. We even start thinking, about the way that we want the problem to be solved. And just like that, all of this stuff starts coming up. We get the worry, the anxiety, the fear. What happens is we give it to God, we say, God, take this problem away, and then we take it right back. Just as fast as we can. The real problem here is the same problem that Abram and Sarai had. We just don't trust God and His ability to answer our prayers in the best way, or to answer in a way that is best for you and me. It's just the way. Because, let's face it, we want to do it. We want to control the situation. I mean, after all, we might not even like the way God answers our prayers. Kind of like Abram, right? We might not like the way that God answers our prayers. One of the members of one of my churches back in Arkansas, my first parish, she always had I always learned that there's three answers to prayer: yes, no, and wait. And she, God bless her, she had a better one for that third one. She said, it's yes, no, and I've got something better in mind for you. I like that one a little bit better than mine. Because waiting is not always the easiest thing that we can do. I had another friend back in Florida. He always said, I don't want to pray for patience because I'm afraid God's going to make me wait for it. So. Abram didn't like to wait. He didn't want to wait. And he wanted to solve the situation. He wanted to solve God's promises all by himself. And so what does God do? He comes and talks to Abram face to face. That's what later on in verse 22, it actually talks about God leaving from in front of Abram's face. So God is talking to Abram face to face. He doesn't come to chastise or to condemn. He comes to Abram to strengthen his faith by telling him and speaking to him the very promise of the covenant that we have in our text today. You see, Abram thought it was impossible. It was unbelievable that he and his wife could actually have a child in their old age. He knew it was impossible. So he must have been astonished at the unbelievable promises that God made to him face to face. First thing he does is he changes Abram's name to Abraham. Why? Well, because he was going to become the father of a multitude of nations. And that's what Abraham's name means. And Sarai was changed to Sarah because she was going to be his princess. That's what Sarah means. Or the mother of many nations. See, God's not going to work his promise through Ishmael. But he would absolutely keep his original promise by giving Abraham and Sarah a son. A son of their very own, even in their old age. And God was actually going to work two miracles here. I don't know if you noticed this or not. First, Abraham would have his own son. Absolutely. And second, he would make him very fruitful so that he'd be the father of many, many nations. God was going to bless Abraham with descendants, generation after generation after generation. In fact, God would bless him so that this would be, as he calls it, an everlasting covenant. The covenant, of course, would be everlasting because basically of one of these descendants of Abraham. You know, we human beings, we have our own life expectancy. We have a beginning, we have an ending here on earth. To be an everlasting covenant would actually take a very special descendant who would be like Abraham, a human, obviously, but would also be like God, who has no end, who is everlasting. So one of Abraham's descendants, of course, would be your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ. And finally, of course, God would give to Abraham the land of Canaan, this promised land, literally the promised land for his future descendants. And that promised land, he says, is going to be an everlasting possession. Again, it'd be everlasting because there would be a land far beyond what was here on earth. There would be a promised land that would last forever. So God fulfilled his promises to Abraham and Sarah with the birth of Isaac, their son. And in doing so, he's actually fulfilled his promises to you and to me. The descendant of Abraham, Jesus Christ, our Lord, indeed has come. He's come not for many nations, not for just for the nation of Israel. He's come for all people, for all nations, for all generations. He's come to bring the promises of God to their ultimate fulfillment, to their ultimate destiny. He did it, and he did this so that he could remove our sins, the sins that we have when we try to fix things that we pray for. When we pray that God would fix something and then try and fix it ourselves. Those sins of our weak faith. The sins when we have our doubts, our constant desire to do the things our way, to solve problems without any regard to God's will. And he did so, of course, by his very own suffering, his own shed blood to cover up our sins, his own death to pay the price for our sin, and his own glorious resurrection that conquers death itself. You see, through Jesus Christ, all those promises to Abraham and Sarah and to us are fulfilled. And so what we have to understand, like I was telling the children, by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I are now descendants of Abraham. Paul talks about it in the epistles as being engrafted into the vine. We've been brought into the family of God by our baptism, by the faith that he gives to us in holy baptism, by the Holy Spirit bringing us as God chooses us to be his children. And so just like God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he's changed your name as well, and mine. At the day of our baptism, the day that we received the Holy Spirit, the day that our sins were forgiven, the day that we became an heir of eternal life, God gave us a new name. Named after his son, we are now Christians as well. We are people of Christ. And he absolutely keeps his promises to you and to me. He gives us a new covenant in his blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And that covenant was sealed in his holy and precious blood. That covenant strengthens our faith and keeps our faith to life ever, and keeps us in that faith to life everlasting, in that everlasting promised land. You see, God made promises to Abraham. He made a very specific promise to him. Those promises seemed impossible, unbelievable to that old man and to his wife. There's no way this could happen. But God kept his unbelievable promises to Abraham and Sarah, and he keeps his promises to you as well. All of those promises were fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he came for you and for me, when he came to this earth in order to pay for our sins. And now, of course, we have new names. We have the forgiveness of sins, an everlasting covenant, and a promised land where we will be with him forever. Kind of an unbelievable promise, right? and yet we believe and we trust in those promises. Because it's in those promises of God that we have all of our hope. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.